Welcome to the Think Fit, Be Fit podcast, part of the Think Fit, Be Fit podcast network, where we put the power of dynamic fitness back in your hands one mental rep at a time. Effective thinking for potent fitness. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to Think Fit, Be Fit.
Yes.
So time to party and finish one of our recent episodes about the three pillars of Impact Your Fitness. It is all about, which is all about our studio and the grand re-entrance that we've made from and the growth that we've experienced from being a small injury neuromuscular therapy focused business into providing a full solution for optimizing joint health and optimizing the muscular system for people with chronic pain, tightness, performance issues. And yeah, so here we are. This is like a little bit more story based. It's a little more personal today. And to do that, I have my co-chair, Razzle Dazzle, Angela Dameline.
Hello there.
We also are sitting here with our espresso and a little bit of raw milk. So hashtag raw milk renegade.
Renegades.
And I'm going to take a sip.
Me too.
Damn.
To a great show.
To a great show. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, to everyone's health.
Yes. So to everyone's health and understanding what it means and what it takes to increase vitality. That's one of our promises to our clients. If they want to, you know, be really take full advantage of what we offer and the philosophy here, we're increasing vitality. Increasing the energy that they have to fitness, to do the fitness, to do the workouts, to play with your family, to have fun with your family, to argue with your family, and just feel better. So I, you know, wanted to finish, like really have a part two to that episode because I want to talk about my experience of being injured in December and using the tech, using the philosophy in real time. Mm. Do you remember that week in December where I was limping around the table?
I do remember, and how you embraced it as a challenge and opportunity to see what our clients feel and how we can investigate and decide, like, how does this feel to be limited in this way? And how many things can we throw at it to accelerate your healing in all directions? Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about everything that we've brought together at the studio is that it integrates all aspects of life to exactly what you're saying, build vitality. People tend to think of things as segregated and separate. We were just talking about this, like what you eat, how you sleep. And more people, I think, are waking up, but we're really integrating and teaching this holistic approach and putting together clues. This leads to this. Mm-hmm. This outcome leads to this. Mm-hmm. Let's look at that and see. That way it removes this mystery, the frustration of the mystery. Mm-hmm. Why am I not getting better? Mm-hmm. Why is this not improving? So I went on a little detour from your knee, but I remember that experiment. And yeah. I'm excited to hear you tell it again.
What I wanted to reflect back to you after hearing that is putting the clues together and helping people piece it together is one of your favorite things.
You got it. Exactly. And I have to say one thing. I love what you said, actually, about argue with your family, because it's so important to argue well or to resolve conflict well. And if we're in pain, if we're frustrated, if we're tired, people say soul-crushing things to each other because they just don't have the electricity, the patience, they're overstimulated. So I love it that you put that in. That is a very, in my opinion, high-valued skill, like resolve
hot
conflict.
Take.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Oh, man. And it's funny to, like, think about that as, you know, a skill. It's to come to compromise and people being healthy together is so worth it. Because sometimes a lot of us are doing the healthy thing to help their partner or their family do it too. Which is, I think, a fine, great motivation. It's not perfect, but I mean, I think it's a road obviously worth traveling, right? If that's, and that, when I think back to being married previously in my life and as a divorcee, that was a really big part of my codependency was, you know, can I show this guy, this man, how to be healthy so that we can be healthy together? You know, newsflash, that wasn't the problem.
What?
No way. But I mean, how many people are in that thought process, right?
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And I've fallen into that for sure with the people around me and had my own experiences of that codependency. And then when I really investigate, for me, in my particular instance, I realized that the more I was pushing to have someone else be healthy, I was like, who do I really want to be healthy? It's like, oh, okay, let me check myself out.
Yeah. It is kind of a way of diverting, right? Like what's the actual problem? You're bypassing the whatever that hunger is inside of you to help someone.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, well, that took an interesting turn. Let's talk about waking people up.
Okay. Back to voltage.
Okay. So long story short, So I was injured at the dog park, which is very humbling. This whole experience actually has been humbling in a great way. But getting barely knocked over by a 50-pound dog and seeing the knee, like, respond the way it did, it just, like, the dog hit me in just the right spot to make the knee buckle back. And I do already have arthritis and ligament damage in that same knee. So the guardrails weren't really working. So my knee buckled. I mean, it was probably a so small amount, but my knee responded in such a way, of course, because there's, you know, a good reason, a good protective mechanism for trying to protect that knee internally. So, you know, swelling is like an internal brace, right? And that's what happened. And then I was limping. I was still working on people and I was limping around. I think I took a day off. Also,
I don't think she did take a day off. That's a lie. Okay. Let it be known.
There's another subject here where I don't take days off.
But I really, exactly what you're saying about the brace. And just to be clear, also, the dog sort of backed into you. So it was also like unexpected. So you didn't have an opportunity to prepare yourself. It just kind of happened.
Mm-hmm. Right? And she doesn't have good manners, this dog.
Mm-hmm.
Has, shout out to Bowie.
Yes. The bestest boy.
Yes. You know, I mean, some dogs, they just jump on you and they just don't have that. I don't know what it is. I mean, because I watch Bowie play and he doesn't knock into people. He did once or twice when he was a puppy. But he has just like really good control of his body. And I've seen other dogs flail. Like, so I don't know. What kinesthetic awareness is in the canine breed. But anyways, cats certainly have it, right?
Indeed.
Anyways, okay, so this was right around Christmas, which was kind of really not great because we were getting ready to move here. But it also did, I already had a lot of days off because of the move. So I did get some rest that was well needed. So I guess the universe does have this like really beautiful timing of serving humble pie, maybe. okay, you need to slow down. So even though I was limping for a few days, for sure, I was limping. That knee would not bend. I didn't mind this whole incident because it was just, I knew it was an opportunity to put all these tools into action And really see what it feels like to be in the client's seat sometimes. I think that's a really important thing for me to lean into, just in general, because I am very protective of my health, where I don't find myself in vulnerable mm-hmm. positions very mm-hmm. often. Whereas many people out there, many clients that we see are in vulnerable positions with their body. And it's a way for me to learn how to respect that and learn from it. So it's really helped clear my mind also of assumptions, which is the part that like really helps me grow in, as a practitioner. And I can't wait to tell you all about the stuff that we have.
Yes.
Both those things. So, and one of the things that is really over all of our treatments here is the fact that we respect that the body is electric. The body being electric is not something you hear about in physical therapy, at the orthopedics office. It's just not common knowledge. So when people first meet us, I think that's one thing we try to highlight, is that we do things very differently because we have a different perspective on how the body is fueled and how it recovers, you know? And so, and you know, we both have been like really leaning into that body is electric mantra mm-hmm. over the past. What I mean, when did I send you originally that like Jerry Tennant stuff?
Was it last spring?
Yeah. And that, I got the Nu-X in October of 22. And so I started implementing that. So if we go from like October 22 to spring 23, maybe a year ago, that's when you and I really started leaning into this whole like mm-hmm. electricity thing. Like coherence has always been on my mind. Heart math and how they measure frequencies, how wonderful Eileen McCuskick measures frequency and works with frequency. Mm-hmm. But it didn't really click, even though I'd read the body is electric many years before, and I've taken neuroscience classes years before. I didn't really put it all together until like a year ago. Mm-hmm. Like real.
Seeing you work with that Nu-X, it really opened up a lot of understanding for me and just laid the foundation for these last, you know, few months that we've journeyed together. It's just like, whoa, seeing it in practice. One thing to read it, right, which is fascinating and wonderful, but to see real time people respond and you like learn how to maneuver it and figuring out where these hotspots are and letting all of that wisdom just flow and be processed through your work. That's like a living embodiment of the understanding of that body electric. So thank you for your willingness to explore in that way. And thank you. Shout out to all of our clients.
Yeah.
Like truly who let us
put stickers on their butt and get that electricity flowing.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Get buzzed up.
Get buzzed up. I mean, I guess it's like I did have the knowledge, but the embodiment hadn't happened yet. That's right. That's right. And so there you go, putting those puzzle pieces together. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. Now it's everything. Call me jaded. Call me electrified and jaded. Call it.
It's like sixth sense of something like in that way.
So I kind of wanted to, before we get into like the injury care, so over this past year, we've been working with this electric piece for our clients and also for ourselves. So I've been incorporating many self-care practices for many years, you know, and I don't regret any ounce of energy I've put into that and all the weird stuff we tried. Even though like some of my practices are kind of the same from like several years ago to now, having the electricity embodiment has amplified. Amplified, like, reasoning and just logic and hope and, you know. So, but when I was injured and having, like, a lot of swelling and limping and pain and tightness, you know, I needed to offer and really understand the direct solution that we offer. And so that's kind of, you know, what I was really getting my hands dirty in was the direct solution first, you know, injury healing, body healing, and the process of injury healing, and separating that from daily practices or just turning up the notch on some of those daily practices. Mm-hmm. So what are some of your daily practices that honor the body's electricity?
I'm so glad you asked. Before we had the information and understanding of how these things affect the body and the system, I was drawn to a lot of these things because I just felt better. Mm-hmm. So even before the understanding, I just knew that there were changes being made. Mm-hmm. And one of the number one things that I love that I know that you really honor me for this, and I appreciate that, is movement. Like, I have to incorporate that in my day. We call it taking a spin. Like, I'm taking a walk. I'm getting outside. And in case you didn't know this already, I'm at the park and my shoes are off. If you are in Old Town and you see a weird lady with her shoes off, like, just basking in the sun, trying to expose as much of my skin as possible, it's probably your girl right here. Okay. Come and say hi. Take off your shoes as well.
Take off your shoes before you talk to me.
Yes, that's right. So grounding, I kind of combined two of those things in there, but grounding and movement. And so for grounding, my most favorite place, and this isn't an everyday thing, but is going to the beach. Mm. Like, I love the beach. I love walking on the sand. I love swimming in the water. And my favorite thing is when the tide pools come and I just lay in the tide pools, which are warm, and I let the sun bath down. So I'm touching the earth. I'm getting the mineral bath of the ocean. I'm getting the photonic energy of the sun. And that is my happiest place I can even think of. Like, that's like heaven for me.
Yeah.
So getting bare feet on the earth, on the beach, grounding. I'm going back to that movement piece.
Yeah.
Because this is in particular what we really specialize in here. And that's focusing on biomechanics. Are all of the patterns of movement in my body available? Because what does it have to do with electricity, you might be saying? Mm-hmm. If those muscles and tissues aren't getting circulation, they're not getting electricity. Mm-hmm. So if I'm moving, I'm breathing well, kind of throwing all these things in together, but then I know that part of my body has voltage. Because, newsflash, there's parts of your body that are not getting oxygen, mm-hmm. that are not getting circulation. And that actually was a surprise to me. Maybe it's news to you as well. Just because you're alive and it's a body part on you doesn't mean it's getting circulation. Okay, and so focusing on making sure all parts of my body are getting juice. Mm. That's another way that I keep voltage going. Another one of my favorite ways, which you catch me around here all the time, singing.
Oh, yeah.
I love singing. I love music. I love the tuning forks. Eileen McCusick, we dove into her work a couple of years ago to the sound.
That was the warm-up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That was the prep, the preheating of the system. And sound is a type of scalar, which has been shown to positively influence the electricity in our bodies as well. How does sound do that? There's a few mechanisms, but it's actually a physical wave and vibration. So whether I'm listening to beautiful, harmonious music, I actually really love Sanskrit chanting. Mm. That is a super powerful way I've found to change my state of being, which ultimately that's what we want, is control over our state of being. In my point of view, can I redirect my attention and sound, music, chanting? You know, I just started playing bass guitar. Mm-hmm. That's been a wonderful practice for me to increase my joy and vitalities. I love practicing. I love meeting with my teacher. I performed live for the first time. All those things gave me life and gave me juice. And that's even more important than the, like, to my, in my opinion, the physical measures I do to remain alive. Because what is the point if I'm not creating something beautiful and joyful or connecting, or what am I doing with that electricity? That's what I want to know. One more thing that I really found very powerful, and then there's actually, there's a bunch of stuff. I'll stay here, and then is actually, this might be a surprising one, and that's self-inquiry. Meaning that if I get triggered, what emotions are coming up? Because we know that emotions can be a huge voltage stealer. So if I'm out here just getting triggered. Yes. Sorry, thank you. In case you didn't know, hot take. Emotions, unresolved, unregulated, out of control, unmanaged, uninvestigated, can drain your voltage and contribute to pain, disease, ill health, all of the above. We cannot say this enough. So this is one of my most important practices, is not necessarily diving into every single reason I feel a kind of way, because I think that has its own problems. Like, you don't sometimes, just talking about and admiring in something doesn't actually lead to freedom. And that's what I'm interested in. Liberation and sovereignty over my own mental state. So what it comes down to for me is undoing those programs that cause those triggers. We talk a lot about this. And then in my relationships, are there things that I need to say? Because that used to be me. I didn't have the voltage to speak up and say, hey, this is bothering me. And so anyway, that was my contribution to my one of my failed relationships, like, is just this not giving appropriate feedback because of fear, because of a program. And so it's way better when I ask these questions and when I develop courage and curiosity. And that's what these adversity, like, this adversity is meant for, like, how you use this challenge of your knee to get curious, to overcome your assumptions, to enhance your own offering. That's what I choose to do with, like, harmful or challenging relationship patterns. How can I get more curious and courageous for myself and for my family, for my son who's watching me, for every client? And we know from HeartMath that the mind and the heart, well, really the heart, emits this electromagnetic field. And you and I both carry a very strong sense of responsibility for how we come into someone's field. We are right up in their field, right? Like, you know, we're all up in their business. And I know that we both prioritize being as clear and as coherent as possible so that when people leave, they feel better for a variety of reasons, including the fact that they had, they were in a healing field that was coherent, that was kind, that was compassionate, and that might look a few different ways. But our self-care from the voltage perspective directly translates into the results that we get. It's what you do in the dark that comes out in public. So I could probably, now I could probably go on about some of the tools we have here, but I'll maybe pause and, like, give.
Well, permission to bang on the table. Yes. I mean, well, thank you for, you know, being like my co-chair in the healing field part. Like, that's really what we're, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, that's one of your biggest strengths on the team here is, like, I'm being accountable to that and the energy, the healing energy. And so don't give me your resume unless it says something about healing energy. No, I'm just kidding. So thank you. It's just such an honor to continue to grow as a person in general. So thank you. Being here. And not bypassing. Right. And being aware of, you know, your own clutter and being able to, you know, clean it up. It's a good analogy. Okay, so yeah, back to this knee injury in December. I had this right knee has issues. And most orthopedics aren't going to acknowledge that cartilage can heal or that ligaments have even a potential for that. And they do. There's a potential for both of those things to heal. And I'm, you know, living proof of, you know, thriving with arthritic conditions and being able to overcome the inflammation that causes pain and disruption to that circulation and to the nutrition, to the joint, all that stuff. So it does require my attention almost daily, you know, weekly for sure. And so turning up the notch on some of these techniques is exactly what I did. So first things first, I got the new X, the NX Pro on me, and just started bending my knee. Hydrogen inhalation, hydrogen drinking, hydrogen soaking. Something was soaking in hydrogen. I don't have enough for a bathtub.
Something was getting sprayed and submerged in
Something was getting submerged.
Sponged on there.
But that, to, like, just to speak to that, I bought a foot bath for this very reason before the injury. And then I used it as soon as I could. And oh my God, did it help. I didn't get my hands on it till, because we were in move. So I didn't get my hands on it until probably like 2 weeks afterwards. And it moved the needle, like function and, and just like how it felt. So the hydrogen gets into the skin and scavenges, you know, and oxidants, oxidative stress. But the most important things it does for injury is it attenuates the injury, the inflammation. We need inflammation. Inflammation, good. And the acute phase of healing, which is exactly where I need it. And upon like using the NX Pro and I was able to figure out that this was kind of like a bone, like ligament injury. It wasn't quite soft tissue. My medial gastroc, I think, did. If any of the muscle tissue got injured, it was this. It was the medial gastroc and then the back of the femur that it attaches to. So the molecular hydrogen can get into the body, whichever way you choose, inhalation, drinking, soaking, and... Are there other ways? No, so you can do some, I don't know. There's other ways. And then it gets in there and it helps keep the appropriate inflammation and get the tissue to recover with the right amount of response from the immune system, not an over response. And then helps get rid of that oxidative stress, like the bad stuff that would stick around if we weren't, like, you know, getting rid of stuff properly. Okay, so that was, those are the two main things at first. And then I think a week after I did a tenant session with you, which absolutely moved the needle. That was one of the, Core Restore Training System, isometrics. Movement with the stim, 100%. I did that most days. And in fact, when I was working on people, I had the stim on my knee. I was keeping it on there. I mean, I had it on a lot.
I can confirm that is true.
Yeah. and it was, but the CRTS like helped my posture not adjust and reconfigure too much.
Which, yeah, we looked at that. Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. One time she was like, look at what happened to me after all this limping. And then you corrected it with the CRTS. But I was like, whoa, I hadn't seen your pelvis in that way.
Yeah. So the So and then I have a specific set of isometrics that I do for my knee for self-care that I did a bunch of. Then we did our first tenant protocol. And that moved the needle a lot. That gave me a big boost. So talk us through it. What happened? What happened? As most people say around here, what just happened?
First, I would like to highlight one thing that you said. Cartilage and bone and ligaments can heal. Did I get that right? Did I get that right? Sorry, just wanted to 20 thumbs up. So the body, when it needs to make new cells, requires a higher voltage. Typically, our body is running around 25 millivolts, minus 25 millivolts. And when we have any kind of pain or injury or inflammation, the body needs a little more juice in order to make new cells. And as Jen was saying, carry away the waste tissue, because the body will get rid of what no longer is useful to it and generate, like I said, new cells based on the amount of energy is available and the raw materials. And Jen always does such a good job of making sure she has nutrient-dense food. She did that micronutrient test back in the fall, and we may or may not get a frame for it because she's like super blood power over here. But with the Tenet machine, we used a combination of the scalar frequencies, which helped make sure all of her polarities in a muscle battery packs were able to take a charge, were available, and then we donated some electrons from the equipment that allowed her body's intelligence to harness and utilize to create healing and to make new cells and, to heal.
Bottom line, I felt the difference. I had, you know, of course I was like excited about using it, but like to really feel that charge and electron donation was significant for sure. And then I guess after that, man, my phone keeps making noise. So usually Angela's screwing up. It's me today. So there we go. Let's get that out of the way.
Hey, it's still early. I mean, I could definitely pop in with some screwing up.
Yeah. Camila, are you cool for a few minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Won't be my screw up.
Yeah. Well, no, we've had multiple scheduling snafus this week, and here we are again. It's all good.
Good thing we got the voltage to let it go.
Yes. We are going to have a conversation about voltage, anxiety, and emotions.
Great. Okay, please. Yes.
Stay tuned.
I have a question. How long after our session treatment did you notice, wow, that's different? Was it right away? Was it later on?
Well, it was definitely right away for me. Mm. But I think one of the interesting things about how people feel after a session is this concept of metaplasticity. So I'm very open to receiving and getting change. I'm not attached to not changing. What's the right word? I don't have an identity around the injury, around, you know, I have an identity around self-healing, but I'm subscribed to a model that allows my body to heal in my mind, in my spirit, and emotionally and business-wise too. I have a mentor that puts me on the spot and I'm open to it, and I don't get as triggered as I used to, which anybody, you know, I mean, anybody that knew me like 20, 25 years ago, you know, I am not the same person at all. And that is a big thing. So I will say metaplasticity, meaning I get change fast from a Tenet session. I think most people will. I don't think it's, you know, that hard to convince people that it's a good modality. But when my open mind and open, like, channels get a treatment, I can receive. Like, that's what I want to say. And I think that is it's the opposite of learned helplessness.
That is huge. Yeah. That is huge. Your refresh rate
is
far faster than someone who maybe has created an identity or who gets their needs met through being sick or injured, or, and you know, there's reasons why people develop that. We're not in judgment of it, but it's also a rate limiting factor in terms mm-hmm. of change. And mm-hmm. what I hear from you is that you've been so committed to personal growth and really letting go of the patterns that don't serve you in favor of a new reality, in favor of expansion and growth. And that's what sets the stage mm-hmm. and provides the foundation for rapid healing and change.
Boom. Boom. Well, that's it. I wanted to say also another, the next step for me was also, I was doing the new XSTIM on myself, and then, I let Liz do it because she's our, in-house nurse that works on us. No, she works here as a new NX Pro, rehab specialist, who is definitely going to come on the podcast soon. I'm warming her up, y'all. And she worked on me. And those, the electric fingers component, oh, my God. We're not going to talk about it too much on the podcast because I don't know how secret it should be. But it is. That is the sauce right there, man. Her getting that right onto the bone that was compromised. Wow. That was really great. And I still have not convinced Yusuf how to do this. But he's getting STEM. He's getting treated regularly. So we'll take that.
Yeah. we'll hold out. It will happen. I believe in him.
I believe Could in him. It. Yeah. Again, shout out to the new ex. I did not get any MAT for quite a while, which... mostly because of the move. I'm not going to lie. But when I did, that was the next jump. And then ever since then, I'm in this like interesting process, which in our client phases is kind of phase 3 and 4, where in phase 3, our clients were working on the camera move now. We're all good though.
Okay.
technically challenged. The camera moved. So stage 3 and 4, which is really about like finding those weaknesses and getting in there and repeating so that the body learns a new strategy around protecting it. And it gets stronger on a tissue like architectural level.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on that now, and I'm starting to add new activities. So this happened in late December. I was at full, you guys don't know much about my workouts, but I do Olympic lifting. So that's what keeps it tight. But my body just responds really positively to fast twitch activity. So anyways, I was back to sprinting on those weird ass treadmills. What are they called?
The assault ones.
I don't know. The self-run ones. The belt treadmills, jumping on boxes by late January.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, I did not know that.
Yeah, and doing cleans and snatches early February.
Wow.
Cleans, so power snatches, which is a full body lift. Cleans, I mean, it's all full body lifts. Olympic lifting is always full body lifts. The snatch going overhead in particular is really rough on the knees and ankles. No issues. So now I'm on a weekly MAT regimen with Gina. Shout out to Ms. Fortuna for keeping my foot mechanics squeaky clean. Mm. Shout out CRTS. You know, I hit that thing every day in secret. Hip extension, plantar flexion, knee flexion, pelvis rotation, and knee extension, knee flexion. I hit all those. Probably a few others. I love a little hip-hike rotation combo. I hit that pretty often. And then I'm always doing some STEM. So I'm doing the stim with my workouts twice a week now and doing the warm-ups daily with the stim. And then number three, we're continuing the tenant regimen, but I haven't been worried about my knee on that. I'm just like full body heel, press that button, let's go. And I'm so excited about, you know, continued tenant. And thank you so much for bringing it here. Shout out to the Minimalist Podcast for having him on, because I would have never. And I had an old client who I hadn't talked to in like 2 years send that to me. She goes, Jen needs to hear this. And she texted me out of the blue with just that. And then I listened to it, probably, you know, I had to rewind it a few times, and I was like, oh my God, now Angela has to hear this. And that was it. Like, game was changed. So all of that to say, we're doing amazing work. Now you have an inside view of how that process works. If you have any questions, we're here for it. We want to know. I'll keep Olympic lifting, so I'll always have a potential to hurt myself. And, you know, I don't brag about staying injury-free anymore. That's one of the assumptions I lost. Because I'm so proud that I can push myself. And, yeah. And also watch other people try to piece together some Olympic lifts. That's very fun. Because it is a complex movement, and it's just being able to put that together and do it a couple times a week and not have to pay for it the next day, that's what I'm happy about. Mm. That's what I'll brag about. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm just more excited for, you know, more people to open up to their own metaplasticity. You know, I'm more authentic now because of that experience. I'm more convicted in my path of this electricity, the bioelectricity, and on this like continuous hunt, or I don't know what it is. We've built it. Y'all will come kind of mentality for the right clients. I had two phone calls today that were very encouraging. I can't wait to tell you about. You know, if you want to light up your own metaplasticity, we both benefit. You benefit. I benefit. The client benefits. Mm-hmm. You know, that healing, oh gosh, healing high performance energy is here. Optimize your joints, optimize your muscles, it optimizes your life. Full force. Do I have any other little sayings I want to put in there? Voltage for the win. I think we should cover all the weird stuff that we say during the day. Voltage for the win.
We want to get some foot joint juice.
Foot joint juice, knee joint juice.
We're always MTD to see people.
Yeah, MTD, more than delighted. These are the things that come up when you open yourself up to metaplasticity, good biomechanics, not high voltage, the right amount of voltage, right? The appropriate amount. And radical acceptance of, you know, making mistakes. Losing assumptions and losing the, like, I don't know the right word right now, but addictions to, I don't know.
Yes. Attachment to suffering. We've all been programmed to be addicted and attached to suffering. And I'm so grateful to be in a space that provides the healing tools, wisdom, technology to support people in their quest to overcome their own addiction to suffering and problems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so inspiring to watch people transform, because ultimately we know that they're the ones doing it. Mm-hmm. And what I really admire, one of the biggest things I admire about you, is your conviction mm-hmm. that people can heal. And that is powerful. Mm-hmm. And so when you come into this space, mm-hmm. be aware. We know a lot about what's possible, and we're curious and we're open. We don't know everything, but we know that the body's intelligent and that miracles happen every day, and we're here for it and we're providing the space for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard it be said that the greatest gift you can give to the world is your own self-transformation mm-hmm. or positive growth. Mm-hmm. Because when you then teach and coach someone else through their process, it lands differently. It just hits differently. And, you know, we've had people call and then they don't come in. And that's totally fine. It's just not a match. But on some level, I think that they sense that there's change or they get a taste of it and they're like, oh, I'm not ready, which is fine. But come ready. We're here for it. We're committed to our own growth. Mm. That's one of the big things I look for in a coach or a mentor is their own example of living the truths that they talk about and their own overcoming of adversity. That's such a powerful teaching. And, you know, that's what we're really committed to. And sorry, I went on a rant about the sayings. Mm. But, yeah, come and get Wait, we're going to get the foot joint juice, get you electrified. We're going to have snacks. We're going to have some Topo Chico and some raw milk renegades.
Yeah, some nice espresso. Okay, we may have just combined the espresso and hydrogen water, which explains like how this ending is going. Thank you guys so much for being here. And thank you for your interest and wanting to be a part of this. Yeah. And thank you, Angela.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening and being a part of the Think Fit, Be Fit podcast network. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. If you're interested in further resources, check out or visit our website, thinkfitbefitpodcast.com.